Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
So today we are continuing our series on the names of God. If you haven't been with us the last few weeks, I just want to let you know what we've been doing. We've been going through the Old Testament, looking at the different names that God refers to himself as. And I love this series because every name that we unpack, it teaches us more and more about our God. It teaches us more about his character and his characteristics. And if you're anything like me, I hope you're falling more in love with God every week, because as we hear more about his characteristics and his character, you just go, what a God, right? And today, I actually have the honour to preach on the name Jehovah Rapha. Cool. Hey, Jehovah Rapha just sounds cool. And I actually didn't choose this one. Actually, I said to Az yesterday, he goes, why are you preaching that, not me? And I said, well, I didn't choose it. I didn't choose Jehovah Rapha. And he goes, but Jehovah Rapha chose you. And I'm like, yeah, so Jehovah Rapha chose me today. So I'm bringing the word this morning. And I want to jump into, we're going to jump into Exodus 15 in a second, because that's actually where it's found. That's where the name, that's where the moment where God refers to himself as Jehovah Rapha is in Exodus 15. But before we get there, I want to give a little bit of context in case you don't know the book of Exodus very well. So what's happened up until this point? Because it's important that we know what's happened up until this point so that we know why God would refer to himself as that. So a bit of context. And this is all Prince of Egypt stuff, right? If you want to see all this in action, what I'm talking about, watch Prince of Egypt. But this is the moment where the Israelites, I can't say how biblically accurate Prince of Egypt is, but it's a good movie. Anyway, so the Israelites have been slaves in Egypt for like 400 years, right? They're in slavery and they cry out to their God. They cry out to their God because they're in slavery, and God raises up Moses and says that Moses is going to be the one to lead the people, lead the Israelites out of Egypt. And there's that period where Pharaoh won't let them go. You know, every time Moses goes and asks, Pharaoh says no. And so God sends plague upon plague upon plague onto the Egyptians. So if you remember, there was things like locusts and frogs and turning the water into blood and boils and darkness. And finally, Pharaoh lets them go. So Moses leads them out of Egypt, but Pharaoh changes his mind and Pharaoh's army chases them, and they get to the Red Sea. And there's that epic moment where they feel trapped. You know, they've got the Egyptians coming after them. They've got the Red Sea in front of them. Where are they going to go? And then, of course, their mighty God parts the Red Sea and they walk over on dry land, right? Incredible miracle, okay? And so this is what they've just experienced. This is what the Israelites have just experienced as we get to Exodus 15. And it is kind of actually summed up beautifully in Exodus 14 that says this in verses 30 to 31. It says, that day the Lord saved Israel. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. Right, so they are amazed at all God has done, and they start to sing this song about how amazing their God is. And then we get to today's passage in Exodus 15, and we're going to read it from verse 22. It says, then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. And for 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what are we to drink? So then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. There the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them and put them to the test. He said, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Well, for I am the Lord, I am Jehovah Rapha. Okay? I am Jehovah Rapha. And if you're wondering what that word Rapha means in Hebrew, it really means to heal, to cure, to remedy, any of those types of words. And today I actually don't want to spend too much time in Exodus, right? Which is unlike me because there's so much we could unpack in here and discover in here. And if you know me, most of you do, if you know me, I love getting my nerd on. Isn't that what I normally say? Getting my nerd on. I love it. I love unpacking what God is saying in these texts. But here's the thing. When I do that, I preach too long. So I'm like, okay, God, I will put some of that aside today so that we can jump into the New Testament because there's so much that I want to unpack in the New Testament as well. So I just want to do a little bit on Exodus, only a tiny bit, so that we can jump into New Testament, okay? So before we head into the New Testament, there's two things from this Exodus passage that I just want us to understand, right? I want us to grasp these before we jump on. The first one is this, right? We just need to know that from this passage, we need to know that God is making a statement that he is the God who heals, right? He's making a statement that he is the one true God. Because see, the Israelites had seen all the plagues of Egypt. They'd watched it with their very eyes. The Egyptians go through all these plagues. But they had also seen all the best physicians and doctors in Egypt not be able to heal them. Right? Because when these plagues came on the Egyptians, they were going to their, you know, the best of the best in Egypt saying, you got to heal us. And no one could do anything. Not the greatest thinkers, not the greatest minds, not the greatest doctors or physicians in the land could do anything about it. Right? So God is saying, I am above all those physicians in Egypt. And he's also saying, I love this. It's also a way of actually proving that the Egyptian gods are not real gods. They are not the one true God. He is the one true God. Because the plagues actually are fascinating. If you've never looked into what God is doing through those plagues, I'd encourage you to do it. In fact, we might even do a series on it one day because I know Az and I both find it so fascinating. Because every plague was actually a way to show the superiority of God over the Egyptian gods, right? Because the Egyptian gods, they had gods for everything. And you think about it, you know, they have the God of the sun, right? But Yahweh, the Israelites' God, he comes and he brings darkness on the land. Well, where's the Egyptian God of the sun? He couldn't do anything about it, right? So every plague that came against the Egyptians, it was a way for God to say, hey, I am above all those other gods. I'm the one true God, right? So that's the first thing I want you to know before we jump into the New Testament. The second thing is I want us to recognize that God is promising the Israelites in this moment because they've seen God bring these plagues on the Egyptians, and they could be thinking, well, what if he does that to us? But here is God promising the Israelites that he won't bring the plagues on them like he had on the Egyptians. He's saying, if you follow me, right, if you follow me, if you do as I say, if you follow my commands, you trust in me, if you do all that, you don't have to fear any of that. You don't have to fear the plagues, you don't have to fear the disease, you don't have to fear any of that. And it's also a reminder for them that if they do sin, right, if their sin does cause them affliction, as sin does, he's reminding them that it's to Yahweh, it's to Jehovah Rapha that you should return because he's the one that can heal you, right? So that's some truths that I want us to kind of have in the back of our mind as we jump into the New Testament. And here's the reason why I want us to jump into the New Testament, because I want us to see this morning that in the same way that God was Jehovah Rapha back then, he's still Jehovah Rapha today. Right? That's what I want us to learn. Because if you leave today, if you walk out these doors and you leave today thinking, oh yeah, God could heal back in the day, like thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, God healed. Well, I've failed. Because what I want us to actually walk away with today is to know that the God that healed thousands and thousands and thousands, thousands of years ago can still heal today. Right? That's what I actually want us to walk out of here knowing, that he still heals today. And I want you to leave today knowing that Jesus, the God that we follow, the God that we serve, he is our Jehovah Rapha, right? He's our Jehovah Rapha. And not only did he heal when he was walking on the earth 2,000 years ago, but he still heals today, right? That's what I want us to see. And that's why I don't want to spend too much time in Exodus, but instead I want to jump into the book of Mark. And if you've read the book of Mark, or honestly, if you've read any of the Gospels, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John that talk about, tell us what Jesus did when he was here on earth, you will have seen over and over and over again that Jesus can heal, right? He healed so many people. He had the power to heal blindness, leprosy, shriveled hands, paralysis, deafness, muteness, 12 years of bleeding, fevers, and all kinds of diseases. The list goes on and on. And there's one particular story that I want to focus in on today, and it's Mark 2. So it's found in Mark 2 if you've got your Bible with you. And we're just going to unpack this morning. I just want to go through it bit by bit. So we're going to read the first few verses that say this. It says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Okay, let's just think about this for a sec. Let's consider this scenario. Let's pretend we are in this situation. Put yourself in the picture. So you have a friend who's paralyzed, cannot walk, and you desperately want him to be healed. That is all you want. You desperately want him to walk again. You desperately want him to be healed. And you've tried everything. You've tried everything you can think of. You've gone to every doctor. You've, anything you can think of. You have tried to see your friend healed. And you hear about a man who's healing people wherever he goes. So you decide, you and your friends decide, we have to get our friend to this guy. No matter the cost, no matter the obstacles, this is our last hope. We have to get our friend there. If we want to see our friend healed, we have to get to this man. Right? You arrive to the scene, but you can't get in. There's no room because there are people everywhere. You can't get through the door. And of course, you've got to get the mat that he's lying on through this crowd. And there are just people everywhere. You just cannot get him to Jesus. But you're desperate. You are desperate. You want your friend healed. You're desperate and you are determined. Your friend will see Jesus. Your friend will be healed by Jesus. And so you come up with a plan. You and your friend, you come up with your plan and you find a way to ensure that Jesus cannot ignore your friend, right? You come up with a plan. You make a hole in the ceiling. You lower him in the mat and you have him in front of Jesus, right? You have Jesus' attention at this moment, right? This is the moment, okay? This is the moment you've been waiting for because he's right in front of Jesus. There's no way Jesus cannot see your friend in front of him. And Jesus says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Like, really? That's it? Like, that's not what you came for. We didn't come for his sins to be forgiven. We came for him to walk again. We came for him to be healed, right? You wanted to see a miracle. You wanted to see healing. You wanted to see your friend walk again. And instead you get, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Like, talk about disappointment of the century. Seriously. Or is it? Or is it? Because let's read on. Verse 6 says, "Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, 'Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?'" So now things are getting interesting, right? Because see, the teachers of the law, they're shocked by what's just occurred. They're outraged by Jesus' words just then. And see, their reaction, their questioning that's going on in their mind, and later on in this passage it tells us Jesus knew what they were thinking. Right? So their reaction, their questioning actually tells us who we're dealing with here. See, up until this point in the book of Mark, Jesus hasn't actually identified himself as God yet. Right? He's been going around healing. Everyone knows that he's healing everyone. But in the book of Mark, we haven't yet seen Jesus identify himself as God. But the teachers of the law here, they are giving him the opportunity to do so right here in front of the big crowd. Because they're sitting there wondering, who is this man that he would try and forgive sins when we know that only God can forgive sins? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And here is Jesus claiming that he has the authority to forgive sins. And let's think about it. If Jesus is claiming to be God, then he's also claiming to be Jehovah Rapha, right? So let's keep reading. Verse 8, it says, "Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, 'Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat and walk. But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And see, I actually love this part in the story. I love it. I love this story, this whole story actually, because here is Jesus saying, I am God, right? And it's actually super interesting because by using the title, I don't know if you knew this, but by using the title for himself of Son of Man, right? Because in that passage he says, but I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And by referring to himself as the Son of Man, he is telling the Jews there, I'm God. I'm the Messiah. I'm the one prophesied about in the book of Daniel, right? In the book of Daniel, chapter 7, says this. Love this. It says, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence, and he was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Wow! And here's Jesus saying, I'm that guy. I'm the Son of Man. I'm the one with all authority, glory, and sovereign power. I'm the one that all nations and peoples of every language will worship. My dominion is an everlasting dominion and will not pass away. My kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Wow! If you're not excited, there's something wrong with you. No, sorry. Just kidding. But I am excited, so I can be excited on your behalf. Anyway, here he is, right? He's saying, I'm God. I'm God, and I have the authority to forgive sins. And I love that he's sort of saying to them, you came to ask me to heal your friend. You came to ask me to allow your friend to walk again. But what's easier? What's easier, healing a man or saving the world from sin? What's easier? Who can save people from sin but God alone? And what I love most is I think he's saying to them in this moment, you came to me for physical healing. You came seeking a miracle for your friend. You brought your friend here because you thought his biggest need was to walk again. You came in desperation with that need. And we can relate, right? How often do we come to God and we're crying out for a miracle? We are seeking a miracle. We're crying out for healing. You know, we're like, come on, God, just give me my miracle. Just take this disease away, just take this condition away, just take it away, Lord, please heal me, give me my healing. Maybe that's what even brought you to church this morning, that you're seeking a healing, you're seeking a miracle. But Jesus says in this encounter, I am here to tell you that your greatest need is not physical healing. Your greatest need is spiritual healing. You don't need your body healed. You need your soul healed. Your broken body is not your biggest need. Your biggest need is to have your sins forgiven and to be right with God, to be in relationship with Him. And here's Jesus announcing, I've come to forgive your sins. I've come to make you right with God. I've come to give you relationship with Him. I've come to give you eternal life. I've come to save your soul. And I believe Jesus is here today, and he's saying to each and every one of us the exact same thing he's saying. Your biggest need is not your physical healing. While you might think that's what you need, that that's your biggest need right now, he's saying that is not your biggest need. Your biggest need is spiritual. Your biggest need is spiritual healing. You're seeking a miracle for your body, but you need a miracle for your soul. You're seeking a miracle instead of the one who can save you from your sin. And I just want to remind you this morning, maybe you don't know the good news of Jesus Christ. Maybe you've come in today and you've actually never heard the good news of Jesus Christ. Or even if you have, you know, we all need to be reminded of this truth. You know, Jesus, he came to this earth. He came to this earth to take our sin, yours and mine. that sin that separates us from God, he took it upon his shoulders. He took the shame and the guilt and he took it to the cross. He left it there. He was crucified on that cross. He was raised 3 days later so that sin can be forgiven and we can be right with God in relationship with him and spend eternity with him. See, Jesus did it. He took care of it. He is the one that has the authority to forgive sins. And he's saying that is the number one need of humanity. And that hasn't changed. That is still the number one need of all humanity. See, Jesus in that moment, while the friends might have been disappointed because they didn't get what they came seeking for, Jesus actually gave that man on the stretcher the greatest gift he could ever give him. He fulfilled his greatest need in that very moment. You know, I actually want to give an opportunity today. I've got more to share, but right now I feel I want to give an opportunity that if you've come here today and maybe you've been coming here for weeks or months or years and maybe you're sitting here thinking, you know what, I've actually never come to Jesus to fulfill my greatest need. I've actually never asked Jesus to forgive my sins. I've actually never asked Jesus if I can be forgiven and have relationship with God. I've actually never done that. I've never come to Jesus. Maybe you did that years ago, but you know, over the years, you feel like you've fallen away. Like you were once there and actually over the years, you've just fallen off the track. I actually think I would be doing you a disservice to not give you the opportunity to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to have him forgive your sins. So actually, even right now, I just want us to close our eyes. And I just, you know, if that's you, if you're sitting there and you're thinking, you know what, she's talking to me. God, you're talking to me. I know I need you. I know I need forgiveness of my sins. I know I need to be right with you. I know I'm not currently right with you, God, but I want to be. I'm just going to ask you, while everyone's eyes are closed, just pop up your hand because I want to pray for you. If that's you, I see hands going up and that is amazing. That is amazing. Lord, we lift it. If, you know, it's not too late. If you're sitting there thinking, I should have put my hand up, pop it up. It's not too late. Because that is the thing, God, ultimately, whatever your needs, God is saying, your biggest need is just to come to me. Come to me. So, Father, I pray for those right then and there, Lord, right in that moment that felt you tapping on their heart and felt you saying, come back to me or come to me for the first time. Lord, I just ask for your blessing upon those people, Lord, that you will just come so close. Father, your word promises that as we draw near to you, you draw near to us. And Father, those people in that moment, by putting up their hand, they have drawn near to you, Father. And so, Lord, we just pray a blessing upon them, Lord, that you will help them in this walk, Father, to know you every day of their life, Father, for them to feel your presence and feel your peace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Lord, thank you that when we come to you with the wrong intentions, that when we come to you seeking a miracle, Lord, that you remind us that you are the miracle. Thank you, Jesus. But you know, that's not the end of the story, right? I haven't even finished that passage. See, he did forgive that man's sin, like we just had in that moment there as people raised their hand. It was God saying, your sins are forgiven. Right? If you just raised your hand before, Jesus is saying, your sins are forgiven, right? You've come to me. So in that moment, he forgave the man's sins. He gave him the greatest gift. He fulfilled his greatest need. He made him whole. But in verse 10, he says, but I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So how's he going to show them this? How's he going to prove that Jesus has the authority to forgive sins? He goes on to say, so he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. And the man got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. You see, Jesus saw this man lying before him, and he saw the faith, right? It tells us that he saw the faith of this man's friends. He saw their desperation. He saw the extreme lengths that they went to get their friend to Jesus. The belief that they had that Jesus was the one that could heal their friend. They saw the faith. They saw that they knew that Jesus was their only hope, that he was the only one that could heal them. And Jesus says, not only will I forgive this man's sin, right, which is the greatest thing I can do for this man right now, not only will I forgive this man's sin, but I will also heal his body. And see, if we seek Jesus, if we seek Jesus first and foremost, if we come to Jesus, not only will we find forgiveness of our sins, but he can also bestow upon us every other gift we can imagine. He can make us whole in every aspect of our life. He is Jehovah Rapha, so he can heal every part of us, body and soul. So right, this man, he gets up, he picks up his mat and he goes home to the amazement of everyone. And I love that it tells us that they all praised God, right? That he was healed, and then they all praised God. They gave credit to where credit was due because they had all identified by this point that Jesus was God, that Jesus was the Messiah come to rescue them, that he was Jehovah Rapha. You see, in Exodus, we saw that Jehovah Rapha was the God that saved the Israelites from the slavery of the Egyptians, and he led them to the promised land, right? And we see in this chapter in Mark that Jesus is that same God, the same Jehovah Rapha who can save us from our slavery of sin and lead us into eternal life, right? The same God then is the same God now. And you know, this morning, I've already given you the opportunity, which I hope you took up. I've given you the opportunity to have your sins forgiven. But I don't want to stop there because that's not where God stopped. That's not where Jesus stopped. So I don't want to stop there. I want us to allow Jesus to not just heal our soul, but to heal our bodies too. And, you know, ever since I discovered that I was preaching on Jehovah Rapha, I've just had this faith and this expectation that healings will take place today. I've just believed it. I've said, God, you can do it then. You'll do it now. Because, see, our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. If he could do it then, he can do it now. And so, you know, in a little bit, I'm actually going to ask the prayer team to come down and we're going to believe with you for healing of your bodies. Because yes, God wants to save your soul, but he wants to see your bodies healed as well. And he can heal you. So, you know, I'm even going to be encouraging you now. You know if you need healing. You know if you need healing. And so in a moment, we're going to have the prayer team come down and I'm going to encourage you to come down and get prayer because I'm believing God will heal you. But before we do that, I actually want us to flick quickly to Mark 1 and look at a verse just before the story I just read because this is a story in the Bible that I've loved for many, many years. And when I first read it, it is a verse that I decided this is how I want to be. This is the posture that I want to have when I come to Jesus. And it says this. Well, actually, I'll just paraphrase it for you. There's a man, it's a short little story about a man with leprosy, right? A man living with leprosy. And he comes to Jesus begging him, right? On his knees, he's begging him. And he says this in Mark 1:40, and I think what he says is powerful. He says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And what I love about this, as I said, this is the posture that I choose to come before God in prayer with. Because I love this posture because firstly, it's an attitude and a belief and a faith that Jesus can do it, right? He says, you can heal me. You can make me clean. It's an attitude. It's a posture that says, I 100% without a doubt believe you can do this, Jesus. I have faith to believe that you can do this. There is no question in my mind. There is no doubt in my mind that you can do this. You have the ability to do this. You have the power to do this. It's an attitude that says, I know he can do it. I know without a doubt he can do it. But it prefaces it with, if you are willing. And I love that because it's a verse that says, it's a faith, it's an attitude, a belief that says, I know you can do it, but it's also a recognition and an understanding that God absolutely can do it, no doubt about it, but whether he will do it is another story. See, it's an attitude and a faith that says, I know you can do it, I know you can do it, but I also recognize and understand that you're God and I'm not. And that your ways are higher than my ways and your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And I don't see the full picture like you do. I don't see the full story like you do, God. That your will and your plan might be different to mine. And I'm okay with that. That I won't always understand the outcome, God, but I still trust you, and I still believe you can do it. It's that sense of saying, Lord, I want you to do it. Lord, I want you to do it. I know you can do it, right? I know you can do it, but I understand that you may or may not be willing to do it, or you may not be willing to do it right now, right? You might have other plans. You might have other plans for me, and they're probably better than anything I can actually think, ask, or imagine. It's a faith that says, I trust you, God. In fact, I trust you so much that I trust you with the outcome of this. I trust you even when it doesn't go exactly how I think it should or how I want it to. It says, I know you can do it, and I am praying and believing that you'll do it, right? But ultimately, I place it into your hands and I trust you. I trust in your love. I trust in your grace. I trust in your faithfulness. I trust in your goodness. I trust in your power. And I pray that your will be done, Lord. It says, I believe you can do it, but I'm okay if you choose not to do it. But it's also a faith that says that just because you don't do it today doesn't mean you couldn't do it tomorrow or next week or next year. And it's a faith that says, well, just because you may not heal me of this disease or this condition or this whatever doesn't mean you can't heal me of the next one or the next one or the next one. It's one that doesn't give up faith. And as you come down for prayer this morning, and honestly, I'm asking you that you do, right? Because if the men, they brought their friend to Jesus and Jesus saw the faith. He saw the faith that they had. That when they came up against obstacles, they didn't give up. They thought, how can we get him to Jesus? And I'm just going to say this morning, yes, of course, Jesus can heal you wherever you are. But when your heart is pounding and you know God's saying, I want to heal you, and you choose to remain in your seat, you're not showing faith, right? But when you step out of your seat and you say, I don't care what people think. I don't care who's watching. I don't care if I'm crying my eyes out. I don't care what's going on, because I believe, I have faith to believe that if I come before Jesus with a posture of, Lord, you can do it. If you're willing, you can do it, that he can heal me. So I'm going to encourage you to step out in faith this morning. But before that, I just want to share a story that happened to me only a few months ago, earlier this year, and I got permission to share this story earlier this year. Actually, it was the week, I think it was like 2 weeks after Christmas, when it felt like the entire church got COVID. That's what it felt like. Of course, you didn't, but it felt like the entire church got COVID, because in 1 week, I think within 5 minutes, we were getting texts galore. And in particular, volunteers for the weekend just dropping down like flies because they're either got COVID or they're in isolation because someone in the families got COVID. Our whole staff team couldn't come to church, so it was me and Az. And I'm saying, Az and I are thinking, we don't know if anyone will even be there on Sunday. Like, I was like, Az, you could be preaching to just me. Like, I could be the only one, like, amen, babe, you know. Honestly, I was so prepared to walk in that morning and have no one here. But we felt a conviction that we would not close the doors of the church if we were allowed to be open, right? Because we'd had so long of you're not allowed to open that it was like, well, if no one's telling us we can't open, then we're opening. Like, I don't care, you know, if people need the church, people need Jesus, so we're going to have our doors open, whatever that looks like. And but we knew it would be small, and I knew partly because a lot of people were sick or couldn't come. But I also knew that fear would stop people from coming to church that day. I knew it. I said, fear's going to rob people of coming. And so I was praying to God the night before, and I was like, Lord, like, I had this, I was like proud. Like, I was like, Lord, I'm really proud of those that turn up tomorrow. I didn't even know who was going to turn up, but I'm like, I'm really proud of those who turn up, because they're stepping out in faith. They're not letting fear rob them. They're stepping out in faith. They're putting you first, God. And I was like, God, I just want something special for them. Like, I want something special for those that choose to be there. And I was just praying that the night before, and then we had church Sunday morning, and look, there was actually way more people than I thought were going to be. It was still probably the smallest service we've ever had. But can I tell you, it was to this day my favourite church service I've ever been in. And I remember during worship feeling this sense that God wants to heal. And I'm like, oh, cool, he's going to tell Az to get up there and, like, heal people. And I'm like, no, okay. I knew, oh, he's not going to get Az to do it. I'm like, oh, he wants me to do it. Okay, maybe I'm regretting those prayers I prayed last night. Anyway, and I said, okay, God, well, if you want me to get up there, like, what do you want to say? Like, what do you want to say to the people? And I felt him show me two areas of the body that he wanted to heal that morning in people. And you got to understand that getting up on this stage and declaring that, it's faith, right? Because if I get up here and I say, God's going to heal this, and no one comes down, it's like awkward, like that's so embarrassing. So it takes faith, right, to get up here and declare what God has put in your heart. But God showed me these two areas of the body and I knew what he was saying. He's like, I'm going to heal. So I get up there. Actually, before I tell you what happened, I'm going to tell you about Natalie, beautiful woman in our church, who was on worship team that morning. And she told me all this later, right? But I'll fill in the two stories. So the night before church, while I'm there praying, God, do something special for those that turn up. She's chatting with her husband and they're apparently having a conversation about how she's never really had a word from God in church, how she's seen God give words to other people. She's never really had a word from God. And then the other thing that was going on for her is that 2 weeks earlier on Christmas Day, she had some sort of nail treatment. I think she'd put gel nails on or something like that and had some sort of awful allergic reaction to it, right? And so for 2 weeks, she's had this skin condition on her fingers and they have been so itchy, burning and itchy. She said it was so bad to the point that the night before church, it was so itchy, particularly her thumbs, that she was scratching them so hard that they ended up bleeding, right? She was in pain. She was in torment for about two weeks. And she's got, you know... Anyway, so God says, you know, you're going to heal today. And so, of course, Natalie's up on... He hears me say the words, he's going to heal. And I feel like God's given me two parts of the body. And Natalie's up on stage praying, Lord, hands, please, hands, hands, please, Lord. And I get up here and I say, shoulder and stomach. She's like, oh. And so I say shoulder and stomach. Anyway, I get down off the stage. And as I said, it's just a step of faith. I'm like, is anyone going to have shoulder or stomach? And it's a small crowd that day, remember too. So it's like, I didn't have the hope that, oh, surely somebody in here's got a sore shoulder. Anyway, I come down and within seconds, as I think I wasn't expecting much, so as nudges me, it's like the altar's full. And I'm like, oh, I've got to pray for these people. So the altar was pretty full from the crowd that was there. I go up to the first person. I say, what do you need prayer for? They say shoulder and stomach. I'm like, both? Shoulder and stomach. And I'm like, okay, thank you, God. It was like, God, give me confirmation that you're on the right track. So I pray, go on to the next person. I say, what do you need prayer for? They say shoulder and stomach. And I'm like, both? And they're like, yep. So I went on to pray. You know, there was a team of us praying for people. And we had great, you know, there was people saying afterwards, I've never felt the Holy Spirit touch me like he did in that moment. It was beautiful, right? But then the 10 o'clock service comes around. And I'm praying, Lord, I don't want to fabricate what happened in the 8. Like, I don't want to just pretend, like I don't want to fabricate it. But Lord, I want something special for the 10 a.m.ers too. Like I don't want them to miss out. So I'm praying, Lord, would you do it again? Or would you do something fresh, something for them? So he says again, I'm going to heal. I'm like, okay. And he gives me two body parts and I'm like, all right. And I said, Az, I'm going to go up again. Az goes, tell me the body parts. I think it's like he was trying to test whether I was really in line with spirit. And I tell, I tell him and he goes, okay. You can go up. Anyway, I get up on stage and, of course, Natalie's there and I say he's going to heal, I think it was neck, throat, and then I say, hands. And I've never seen a woman jump off the stage so fast. Still couldn't picture it. She launched herself off the stage. I remember it. And I'm like, what faith? Hey, you're in the middle of worship and, you know, you just jump up. I love it. And she said to me, yeah, I've got, she goes, I've got this skin condition. And I'm looking at it and I can see it, right? I can see it all on her fingers. And there was something in me that went, God, I want to see this go before my very eyes. Because see, until this point, I've heard stories. As I've seen it, seen things be healed in front of his eyes, skin conditions just disappear from people's faces, but I've never seen it with my own eyes. I believe it. I believe he can do it, but I've never seen it with my own very eyes. And I remember I was so determined that morning. I was like, Lord, I want to see it. And I'm staring intently at her fingers. Like I've probably never stared so intently at someone's fingers before. I'm like, I want to see it go, Lord. But it didn't go. And I went on to pray for the next person. And Natalie told me later that you know, yeah, she really thought this was her moment, right? This was her moment. And then she heard the next person needed prayer for arthritis, and she thought, oh, the word wouldn't have been for me. It would have been for the person with arthritis. That's a worse condition. Like, so how beautiful is this? So then she prayed for the person with arthritis. Like, amazing, right? So because she thought, it couldn't have been for me. God, like, that word wasn't for me. It must have been for the one with arthritis. So she prayed for that. Anyway, during the service, I felt God say to me again, you need to pray for Natalie again. He reminded me of the stories in the Bible where Jesus would pray twice for someone. Like, you know, there's the story of someone's blind and he puts the mud and water and he says, you know, what, and prays and says, what can you see? And the guy goes, oh, I can see people, but they kind of just look like trees wandering around. And then Jesus prays again. And then the next time the guy's like, yeah, I can see perfectly. So it was God was reminding me, sometimes you've got to pray twice. So he said, you need to pray for Natalie again. So end of the service, I say, Az, we need to pray for Natalie again. So I got up to the stage, I said, Natalie, I want to pray for you again. She goes, Beck, it's gone. And I'm like, pardon me? She's like, it's gone. I grab her hands and I'm looking. And see, I had stared so intently at those hands that I'm looking going, she's right, it's gone. I know what I saw because I was praying so intently looking at them because I wanted to see it gone. And it was gone. She said, sitting down in the service, she all of a sudden realized, hang on, they're not itchy anymore. I haven't been itching my fingers. Looks down and four fingers on each hand were already healed, and two on the two thumbs were just a bit slower to get there. Took a few days. And what I love about that story is like the faith of Natalie to jump off that stage, right? When she heard that God was giving out healing, she wanted it. She knew it was for her. She jumped off the stage. I love that. You know, hey, I love that I showed faith in getting up here and sharing what God had told me, because I could have robbed you guys of that experience, because I could have let fear go, oh, I couldn't do that. It'll be too embarrassing. Imagine Natalie wouldn't have got her healing that day because I was too fearful to get up on this stage and say what God had told me. I love it. And I love too that she was thinking, it's just hands. My thing's not that bad compared to somebody else's. Other people have worse things. But Jesus cares about it all, right? He cares about it all. He loves us all. He loves you. And I believe he can heal you. I believe he can heal you of cancer, and I believe he can heal you of a skin condition on your fingers. It doesn't matter how big or small, he can do it. And if you think he can't do it, I am telling you, I saw it with my very eyes. That doesn't just 2 weeks of itching, 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 red raw, doesn't just suddenly disappear unless God's involved, right? Unless Jehovah Rapha is involved. And so I want to encourage you this morning, because we're going to sing again. And I want to encourage you, don't rush off, right? Because you might be saying, okay, well, I'm not going to go down for prayer, but let's stand, let's worship, let's pray and believe for those that are believing for healing. Let's stand with them and believe for healing. So we've asked a prayer team to come to the front. They're going to come to the front, and we're going to sing and we're going to pray. And can I encourage you, if you have anything, anything, big or small, I want you to come and be prayed for. And I want you to come with a posture that says, you know, that man, if you want to get on your knees, get on your knees. You don't have to, but that man came begging on his knees for healing. And he said, Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me. And that's the prayer that I want to be in your heart this morning as you come down, is Lord, I know you can do it. I know you can do it. I have faith to believe you can do it. So Lord, if you're willing, heal me.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast. We believe this message will inspire you into greater intimacy with Jesus, relationship with others, and influence in your world. If you would like to know more about us, you can visit us online at www.elevationchurch.com.au, or alternatively, pop into our Redlands location.